Dr. Shane Vitti is with us for a call. He was just back from the Pacific. So, Hoki Mai, good to talk with you again, Shane. Te lākwe.
Morena, Dale. Good to speak with you.
Thank you. Tell us about the connections between our country, tangata whenua here, Pacifica peoples, they were acknowledged, and how are you working closely from our end with Pacifica peeps on their health issues, Shane?
So I have the privilege of having the portfolio of the Ministry for Pacific Peoples, and with that comes the privileges and the responsibilities of looking after the diaspora here in New Zealand. So last week's trip was a very efficient trip. Effectively, we're in a new country each day. We started in Tonga, went to the Cooks, and then concluded in Samoa, myself and the Deputy Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Winston Peters. And we're in each of those countries sending several signals. So you have to imagine you have two senior cabinet ministers within 50 days of a new administration out offshore, reacquainting ourselves, re-establishing relationships. Now, of course, the DPM has long established relationships through the Pacifics, but for me, it was the first time I've been to Rarotonga. So it was an opportunity to build new relationships, to further develop long-standing relationships, and we announced in each place a number of initiatives, some health, some infrastructure, as a contribution from New Zealand to our Pacific partners in the relationships that we have. So we look offshore with foreign affairs. My role with Pacific people is to look onshore at those Pacific peoples who are here in New Zealand, and of course what we do in each place affects the other. So it was a really good tag team, the DPM and myself.
Tēnā koe, I know he called you Shane Jones a couple of times, slip of the tongue there, but Shane's such a prominent character with his ambassadorial role for some time in the Pacific, so sort of understandable. Shane, could you for a moment please touch on the new guy who's got a mahi overlooking aspects of our health system? Ken Whelan, what can you tell us a little bit about him? He's been appointed as the Crown Observer to Te Whatu Ora. What's his role? And does this undermine the role of Health New Zealand's board?
Oh, not at all. Supports the role of Health New Zealand board. So under the legislation, there are a range of agents that I can appoint to help, and a Crown Observer is one of them. Under the previous DHBs, Mr. Whelan was a Crown Observer in several DHBs. So he has deep experience in this role. And you appoint a Crown Observer when you want to help a board to progress their work. If there's a set of skills, and Mr. Whelan has a set of national and international skills that contributes to the board. He also has a set of skills different to board members in as much as that he's able to help the board with their performance. And that's useful too. So if anything, this is affirmation of what the board is doing and giving them another set of skills to help them.
Tēnā koe, could you give us an update on where we're at with disestablishing Te Aka Whaiora? Where are we at?
Sure. So there's a limited amount I can say because this is now sub judice. So because it's a proceeding now in front of the Waitangi Tribunal, and there's only a small amount that I can say. So in that respect, all I'll say is that the key principles of delivering care as close to the home and the hapu as we possibly can, they are all in place. And we'll make our way through with the Waitangi Tribunal with whatever they're requiring of us.
Tēnā koe. Rob Campbell's throwing you a bit of advice, saying keep it simple, Shane. Does it resonate with you or are the problems in health to be solved with better funding?
Yes, it does resonate with me, actually. In fact, even though Rob and I have never met in person, there are a number of things I can see through his writings that I would say, oh, I agree. In fact, as I'm further able to describe and collaborate the full picture going forward, I think he'll be pleased with what he'll see. So, yes, absolutely, I've taken away some of the uncertainty and the murkiness around where health was going or where they thought it was going, spread across multiple documents and endless pages, and brought it down to a really simple set of targets and a simple set of objectives. So it'll be very clear, the good ship health is going here. Here's how we're going to get there. Here's the things we're going to focus on. And that'll bring a lot of clarity to the sector. So I agree with his KISS principle.
I've got a lovely picture up on my screen of you and Winston in bad shirts with Lays. Tell us about your relationship. Maybe that didn't get through. Hey, are you still with us, Shane?
Yeah, sorry, we broke off there for a minute. You've got a lovely picture of what on your screen, Dave?
It's a beautiful picture of two handsome Māori men. One is Winston Peters and one's you in bad shirts with Lays on. I just wondered if you might reflect on your relationship a few days awake and help people to understand each other better. I know you blokes know each other, but, I mean, how would you describe your relationship?
Well, first thing, I think you clearly need an appointment with your optician, would be my first statement. And then the second statement I'd make, Dale, is that Winston and I were a very effective tag team through the Pacific. We had his experience, we had my experience, we had two senior cabinet ministers. And as he introduced at one of our first speaking places, just saying, you have two senior cabinet ministers here, both from Ngāti Wai. He then made the second point of you also have the first Māori health minister in 100 years. And so we were both able to enjoy that camaraderie and that more visceral connection outside of politics, just on whakapapa.
Tēnā koe. It looks like holiday snaps with your koro.
You know, you could look at that, except we were so busy. I wouldn't say it was a holiday. You have to imagine we travelled at night, hit the ground running, pressed all the way through the day, travelled at night again. So not quite holiday steps. Working time with koro, yep, that works.
Fair enough too. How much money did you, you know, and Pūtea, did you earmark for Pacifica Health Initiatives, Shane?
Well, we made a number of announcements. In Tonga, we opened, I believe it was a $2.4 million pharmaceutical facility. So they had a substandard storage place, a warehouse where vaccines and medicines were kept, and sometimes there were multiple medicines all kept in the same compartment, the same drawer, if you like, clearly raising the risk of getting an inaccurate dispensing. And so New Zealand contributed to a brand new pharmacy warehouse in Tonga, and the Crown Prince helped us open it. So the Crown Prince and myself and Winston all cut the ribbon. And this was a real contribution from New Zealand to Tonga, and they were very, very grateful. Our last stop was at in Samoa, at the National University of Samoa, where we announced New Zealand's contribution of $3.4 million to a Bachelor of Health Science, so that the people of Samoa could further continue to grow their own domestic, culturally competent nurses and health professionals. So there were a number of contributions from the New Zealand government through into the Pacific Islands on this visit. We also announced it wasn't health-related, but in Rarotonga, we announced our $8 million of infrastructure for the Punangi market to help that continue to prosper. So it was a real reach from New Zealand into our Pacific neighbours. We came to develop relationships, but we also came with funding to actually walk the walk with what we were saying we would do.
Tēnā koe, just finally, overtures from the police that they are reconsidering whether they're the most appropriate frontline response to domestic or family harm, domestic violence situations. There's been a school of thought for a long time that first responders should have mental health training, because so often those who are in distress and family harm circumstances are going through mental health challenges. But the logistics of having mental health trained personnel who are also versed in aspects of safety, because these are very volatile situations, makes it a very tough thought to how we might do better than sending the guys in blue as first responders here. What potential do you think exists to have a workforce ready to mobilise in these circumstances? What would need to happen? And in fact, do you favour some alternative to the police fronting up to family harm circumstances?
So Minister Matt Doocy is all over this, and it's framed in terms of co-response, which is exactly what you're talking about, having mental health professionals alongside our police force. And there were two trials, I believe, that had demonstrated significant benefit to all, because you imagine police have some training in mental health, but you can't beat having a mental health expert close at hand, one, to be able to pass across that piece of work, which isn't generally mental health consultations, mental health crises, aren't something you solve in 5 or 15 minutes. They take quite a lot of time. So to be able to pass that off to a mental health professional and get back out into the front line, that's valuable. Plus, to the client involved, they get that expertise in the moment. It's not, oh, we'll make an appointment for you later, come back tomorrow. It's there and then. The co-response mental health expert is alongside. So Minister Ducey has talked about this for some period of time, and we've been encouraged by the, I think it's two trials of co-response that have shown mutual benefit and good outcomes.
Tēnā koe, Shane. Thanks. Māori Health Space and the updates from Data and the mahi ahead for you this week.
All of the agencies are reporting their data. Some of it we're getting the end of last quarter, and we're looking at, and we're still seeing challenges across EDs and waiting lists. So that data is starting to report back in from what is end of quarter two for health last year. And this coming week, House sitting today, again, we're pushing through a lot of legislation, a really ambitious legislative agenda. So we're working really hard. Some of the select committees will go into annual review, which is where the ministries are critiqued by MPs. This set of annual reviews will be on the previous government's track record. So they'll need to be held accountable for the good, the bad, and everything in between that they did in the previous year. And that's going to be a very full week when we look at that, Dale.
Yeah, there's been a bit of eyebrow raising too at the numbers in the health sector too. Are you privy now to the realities financially that the sector is facing off the back of 6 years with the opposition having the reins of power?
Yes, I am. Part of the privilege of coming into the role is that you can lift up the hood and actually see the truth. And it is problematic across the sector on multiple levels. That's a story to tell, but I'm actually enthusiastic to be getting on with the solutions. We will tell that story. There'll be appropriate places in the House through annual reviews and those sorts of forums to look back and say, how do we find ourselves in this position with the knowledge and the facts we now have to hand? But just at this point, I'm really keen to say, okay, that is what it was. That's what brings us here. Let's not learn any of those same mistakes, but let's press forward. How do we now push into the outcomes that matter to Māori and matter to New Zealanders?
Shane, as always, thank you for your time and thoughts. Kia pai tōpiki. Thanks for joining us.
At the Māori, Dale. Good to speak with you.
And you too. Thank you, Shane. Dr. Shay Ritz is a